me like my sister, close to me like my brother. And you are the only one, you're my everything. And for you, the song I sing.
Shit's about to kick off, this party looks whack. Let's take it back to straight hip-hop and start it from scratch. I'm about to bloody this.
Now on Stitcher Radio, iTunes, and Spreaker, we present the one and only Breakdown Sports Show. The best run sports talk show in the Carolinas on the interwebs. With your host, the never intimidated or duplicated Big Shot Bob.
I liked what I saw from Cam.
And the man at the top of the summit, the man bringing it home, Rocky.
Lorenzo Cain to teach Cam Newton how to slide.
The show starts now.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Breakdown Sports Show on Stitcher, Spreaker, and iTunes.
Break it down, BSS, Carolinas.
Our new slogan. BSS Carolinas, there you go. Oh, man, how you doing, Big Shot?
I'm good, man. A lot of crazy stuff going on in the world of sports right now. But yeah, that's a good thing. Keeps us in business, doesn't it?
Yeah, breaking news. Dallas has called other running backs now because they know they lost DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, when it's like 90% that if you don't re-sign your player and let them hit the free agency market, they're going to end up on another team. And you see it all over the NFL. Teams, if they want to keep you, they go ahead and they lock you up and they don't let you hit free agency.
That's what happens. Well,
is how big of a loss is that for Dallas?
Not very.
Not very.
It's on. Look, if he would have went to Oakland, Jacksonville, no problem. You go to Green, there's a problem. All right, you go to Philly Green, yes, we got an issue.
He's staying in the division.
You know, I wouldn't care if you went to Washington. I wouldn't care if you kind of cared if you went to New York.
Mm-hmm.
But you go to Philly. That's the bottom of the barrel with me. Yeah, that's one place you don't go. Just don't. I don't like visiting Philly. I've got in-laws, but I have family that lives up there.
Like, I will come as far as Pittsburgh. And y'all have to meet me in a different city. Y'all can meet me in King of Prussia or something.
I feel dirty when I drive through Philly. I just do. When I've been by Philly Stadium, I just like, oh, get me out of here. Fast as you can. This is horrible. I don't understand this.
You just got to let it go, man. It's the business.
No, I know it's a business. And I don't understand people that go to, to a different – just to the division rival. I just don't understand it. That, to me, is a drawing point. I can't just say, okay, I hate Philly one year, but I'm going to go to the next year. I just like the T.O. thing never fit well with me. I mean, it did the first year that we had a great season, but after that, it was like, whatever. But, yeah, there's so much news to talk about, man. NFL, you got ACC basketball tournament started yesterday. Actually, Tuesday, excuse me. Major League Baseball, A-Rod hits a home run.
First in time in 537 days. Go ahead, A-Rod.
And, of course, we got our dummies of the week. We are not true or false this week, but we also have Bon Voyage and a couple other things. And next week, we're going to start having a message in a box.
Message in a box.
Yeah.
You got to check that out. That's going to be hilarious.
Oh, yeah. We'll have fun with that. But first, let's go ahead and go around the world in 120 seconds. And we'll talk – trust me, we'll talk some more about the Cowboys because I know everybody's waiting.
And all around the world.
Well, first, I'll take Miami because I love the Sun. Then Tuatha Dulo signed a 6-year, $114 million contract with the Dolphins. $60 million guaranteed.
He just got hit by a tsunami of dollars. Congratulations, Ndamukong. The AFC East looks like it's going to be really competitive this year. all the other teams are making moves to improve, and the Patriots have been losing pieces. So we'll see how that's going to play out.
Yeah, but you know the Patriots, they'll feel. There's a signed they were trying to get Andre Johnson, but they're trying to get another receiver now. But, yeah, the AFC East just got a lot better. You know, the Bills got better moves. The Jets improved a little bit.
Jets making moves on both sides of the ball.
Until yesterday when they trade for Fitzpatrick. We'll talk about that. Ryan Fitzpatrick. Go ahead. You got the next one.
I'm in NASCAR country where Kurt Busch was reinstated by NASCAR. And he is allowed to compete in the chase for the championship. All right, Kurt Busch, I guess all this other stuff is behind you. All you have to do is focus on driving and trying to win for Stewart Haas Racing.
Yeah, I am. Just stay away from assassins.
Right?
Yeah.
And stay out of Delaware.
Yeah. In Argentina, 10 people was found dead, including Olympic champion Camille Muffet, Olympic boxer Alexis Fasteen, and pioneer sailor Florence Arthrod after a helicopter accident in Argentina.
And it sucks to hear that, man. Yeah. It really does. People just trying to enjoy lives, but, you know, death comes for us all, and that's it happens.
Right. I'll let you take the next one, Seattle.
In Seattle, the Seahawks pull a huge trade. They trade Max Unger for Jimmy Graham from the New Orleans Saints. Wow. Seattle, they are not playing. How much better does this make the Seattle Seahawks?
I don't know. I really – Jimmy Graham, you look at what he did last year, you're just like – because he had a down year last year. He was not the best tight end in the game last year.
He was
Gronk
hurt a
came
lot.
Back. Yeah, he was hurt a lot. Gronk came back and took care of that. And they didn't throw him the ball like he usually does.
Because he was getting triple teamed.
Yeah, he was getting triple teamed. And Seattle – don't scare me as far as the receivers. What are you going to do? You're going to just double the same. To me, you're going to do the same. You're going to double Jimmy Graham, and you're going to stop the run.
Give beast mode to football.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to do that too. But, Jimmy,
I think I'm New Orleans, glad we don't have to play them twice a year anymore.
I think New Orleans got better with the offensive line. I think they did the right thing. And they did get a draft pick.
We'll see what that correlates to.
Yeah, so – it is a big – I mean, Jimmy Graham's a big loss, but I think you can – Jimmy Graham, just like Drew Brees, I think you can plug anybody in New Orleans offense to play tight end.
I think they are in a rebuild mode. We were talking about it a couple of days ago when we heard the trade, and I think they're going to – after this season, they might release Drew Brees.
If he – me and you were talking about, and Sean Payton's gone if they have a losing season, yeah.
How many games in a row did they lose at home this year? And all they had to do was win a couple of their home games, and they would have wrapped the division up. They were the favorites coming into the season to win the division.
Yep. They were Super Bowl picks.
17 picks last year from Brees. His lowest touchdown put out passing TD since 2010. He's approaching 40.
Well, and they want to be better on defense and more run-oriented is what I'm hearing. So we'll see. And last but not least, real fast, in Philly, quarterback Nick Foles traded St. Louis for quarterback Sam Bradford and draft picks. And draft picks. You trading Sam. Philly has made, until today, has made the worst moves of anybody I've ever seen. Sam Bradford. I think he broke his leg getting out of the car trying to sign the contract.
Man, he's lucky he didn't tear something walking on the stage for the press conference yesterday. Right now, Chip Kelly looks like the village idiot. It is really too early to put any judgment on it, and because they got to play the games. If they go 13-3 and they win a Super Bowl, then Chip Kelly is a genius. But at this point, in my personal opinion, he's a blithering idiot. Blithering idiot.
I mean, well, it started with the Sean McCoy trade. You trade for a linebacker who's been out all year with ACL tear, and then you don't get any draft picks for that one. Then you trade Nick Foles, you don't get any draft picks for that.
You get Sam Bradford, who's only played six games
and you get
a year average. I don't know. I don't know. And you heard the press conference. He was like, we traded LeSean McCoy and we got Byron Maxwell and Kiko Alonso in his place. It's like, oh, great. You gave away one of the top three running backs for Byron Maxwell, who's an okay corner, and a linebacker who was hurt all last year.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound
We don't smart. Talk about that. It's crazy. Let's get into college basketball, I guess. You know, today, ACC tournament.
The real tournament second, starts.
Yeah. Jahlil Okafor won ACC Player of the Year.
Congratulations.
Definitely. He deserves it. I didn't realize everything this boy, man, has been through, losing his mom.
I didn't know about his personal history. I know he's a hell of a basketball player. He has a much inside game. And when he comes to the league, he's going to be able to score and get points immediately. We'll see how he does defensively, because Carl Anthony Towns is a lot better defensively.
No, Towns is awesome defensively, like you said. But he is, for Bobcat fans, Hornet fans, he is Emil Okafor's cousin.
I kind of figured they were related because, you know, they had the same last names. But hopefully if the Hornets don't make the playoffs and they do end up with a number one pick, this Okafor works out better than the other Okafor did.
Oh, no kidding, dude. But anyway, you know, talking about ACC tournament, BC beat Georgia Tech in first round play. It was a good game.
It was very competitive.
BC was up big, and Georgia Tech came back. Hanlon had a good game. And then Virginia Tech beat Wake Forest in the first round.
They smacked Wake Forest. Wake Forest didn't recover from that whipping they took from Duke in Durham 2 weeks ago.
And then yesterday we had State beat Pittsburgh 81-70. Cat Barber, 34 points.
Cat Barber, when he's going, is one of the best guards in the country that does not get talked about enough. If NC State makes a serious push in the NCAA tournament, it's going to be because Cat Barber has been playing really well.
And we had UNC beat BC. You're talking about smacking. They smacked them 81-63.
Without Meeks. They didn't
Without Kendrick, yeah.
They and, didn't even need him.
Hanlon, they held in check. So, and then Florida State beat Clemson last night 76-73. And, dude, I've not watched what's the kid's name? Matthew for Florida State.
I couldn't tell you. I don't watch any Florida State Seminole games because I'm not a fan. I'm a Duke fan. But it doesn't matter. I don't really see any teams from yesterday being competitive. I know UNC gets a chance tonight against Louisville, and Louisville is a little undergunned. They should win that game. Duke's going to be looking for a little revenge against the Wolfpack, who handled them earlier in the season in Raleigh. So is Cat Barber going to put up 34 again?
No, I think he's going to have help tonight. I think Lacey – I don't know, man. He might put – I mean, we've seen it with players put up 30 points in a stretch of tournaments.
They have an amazing run. Kemba Walker did it a few years ago during the Big East tournament. Randolph Childress for Wake Forest about 15, 20 years ago did it.
And they don't have great defense at point guard.
They don't.
Tyus Jones is great on offense.
Quinn Cook is a good defender.
Cook's a good defender, but who's he going to play on? Is he going to play Barber, or is he going to play Lacey?
They'll probably put Cook on Barber because Cook has the quicker feet and can stay somewhat in front of Barber.
Xavier Withon Mays, that's who I was thinking.
Okay.
Kid put up 30 points yesterday.
Wow.
Against Clemson. Watch that kid. I'm telling you, he can play. And, you know, if he gets hot, you never know. But, yeah, and today Virginia's absolutely smacking.
Are they playing Florida State right now?
Yeah, they're playing Florida State right now, 34-17.
It sucks for Florida State because they had to play the late game yesterday and then have to turn right around and play the early game today.
I figured they played the 2 o'clock game or 7 or – they want the State and Duke game to be the later game today. That's the big game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you got – next up, you got Carolina-Louisville coming up next.
just Patino against Roy Williams. That's the draw right there. Who cares who's on the court? We want to see these two magicians of their teams. Who's going to be able to make the most adjustments and get their team past the other team? Did Louisville beat Carolina earlier in the season? I think Louisville did beat Carolina earlier in the season, but that was in Louisville. So, neutral site, we'll see how that goes. It's going to be more Carolina fans in the Greensboro Coliseum than Louisville Cardinal fans.
Oh, yeah. There'll be a lot. I mean, you're in Greensboro. That's North Carolina country. So
I expect it to be low in scoring, though, in the 50s.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be ugly because Harrell is going to be playing. It's going to be ugly, dude. If State beats Duke, watch out. I'm just saying. If they beat Duke, and we have the tendency the last 5-6 years to make it far in the ACC tournament.
Absolutely.
And then lose. We get to the semis or we get to the finals and lose.
Well, Julius Hodge had that 1 year. I think he took them to the title. That's the only reason they got into the NCAA tournament that year.
Yep.
NC State is dangerous. Any of these teams in the ACC right now are really good and really dangerous. And they know each other so well, so you can't look at records and you can't look at players. It's just who's going to play better during the game they have to play. Who do I think will win it? It's obvious. I'm going to pick Duke University. Duke and Virginia in the final on Saturday, and the winner will come.
Duke
will be
who?
Duke. UVA.
Virginia?
Virginia. Virginia has a clear path. The winner of Louisville, Carolina, is not going to beat Virginia. No question about it. Virginia's defense is too tough inside. They don't turn the ball over, and they limit what you do.
I mean, look at Florida State today. They got 17 points.
17 points in the first half. They played 20 minutes. They got 17 points.
I agree. But the one thing that can beat Virginia is a good three-point shooting team.
That's Duke University. And NC State, too, when they got it going.
Yeah, so I'm trying not to be a homer here.
Go ahead, man.
We have to beat – Man, watch UNC, too. I mean,
I would never pick the Tar Heels.
I'm not picking Tar Heels either, but I'm saying watch. They don't give Virginia a tough battle in the semis.
If they get by Louisville.
Though Marcus Page may have that tournament that for the ages, man. He might just – it's his senior year. He had a good game last game, 19 points, like 9 assists. He didn't have to score 30. But when he does, he can. Virginia's so tough on defense, so 17 points and a half.
They are number one in the – I think they're number two, actually, because Kentucky, I think, is number one. Or they're number one and Kentucky's number two. Both of these teams, Virginia just knows how to play defense. And they have so much size inside, you can't score in the paint.
And they are the defending ACC champions.
They only lost one game all year.
No, two. They lost Louisville.
They lost
Duke.
That's right. They did lose the Louisville down the stretch. But they were hurt, and I kind of expected they would lose in Louisville. But the true game they lost was to Duke.
Yeah. Well, the Louisville game, they only lost by a point, and it was the last-second shot by Hartrell.
Yeah.
Harrell. I'm telling you, just watch State. I think it will end up being State in Virginia. And if it is, Virginia probably – I'm not picking – it's not going to be a back-to-back champion. I don't think it is. I mean, it's hard to repeat in the ACC.
It is. And NC State played Virginia tough. I think the final score of that game was 51-47. It was very competitive throughout.
I would love to see NC State and Carolina in the finals.
I think a lot of fans would love to see it.
I would absolutely love that.
Duke and Carolina.
Yeah. Not Duke and Carolina again.
I want to see
it. It's been a while. Actually, how long is it? It's been a while since it's been Duke and Carolina in the final ACC, ain't it?
It has.
It's probably about due. So I'm going to go with State, and I'll go State and Virginia, and State ends up winning just because, you know, State has been really hot. They have beat the best teams in the league, except Virginia.
They've played their way into the tournament because 2 weeks ago they weren't in the tournament.
Which we do every single year. It's amazing. So, who you got to win the ACC tournament?
Duke.
Of course.
Duke.
All right. Well, there you go. That's who will win. Next week on the show, we will do NCAA brackets, even though the play-in games start on Wednesday, I think.
Those don't count to me. For me, I don't care about the play-in games.
No.
Let's get to the 64 teams.
And then Friday, the tournament's here in Charlotte, so and I will be there.
You going to, okay. going to the game? What yeah. region is it going to be? The South region? Or the East region?
I think it's the – it's probably the South. Duke should be – it'll be Duke here, wherever it's at.
I might have to go try to catch a game.
Because Kentucky will be in the Midwest.
I'll have to use a sick day.
Sick day coming. But, yeah, so make sure you're here for the NCAA tournament if you can. Did you hear about the NBA pushing back the NBA draft entry date?
I like what they're talking about, too. They're saying that they're going to allow these players to come and work out in front of GMs and stuff. And the GMs are going to give them feedback right there to say, you should go back to school. You're probably not going to get drafted. And that way the kids aren't stuck without an option that, okay, I'm going to leave school and you don't get drafted. And then you can't go back to school either.
No, which is a good thing. And supposedly it's going to be they have a week after the tournament to make up their mind. If they're going to enter the draft or not.
I like what the NBA is doing. Let's look out for these kids. Don't put them out on the island. A lot of these kids' hopes at 17, 18, or the hopes of their entire family are put on their shoulders because they've come from the slums. Their families have nothing. So it's up to them to make it to the pros quickly, sign that $10 million deal, and take care of everybody. And it's just not guaranteed for every player. The NBA draft is only two rounds, and that's 30 players, 32 players?
Yeah.
Or no, 60-some players?
Yeah, 62, I think, something like that.
So you're not guaranteed to make the NBA.
No.
If you can go – if they're telling you to stay in school, get your degree, get a job. You can get a job.
Well, it used to be going to Italy, going to Europe and play, and then come back. But now the NBA D League is so huge.
Yeah.
There's people getting signed from D League left and right. Seth Curry just got signed
a 10-day deal
with
the Suns.
Suns.
It was the Suns.
Okay.
But Seth Curry played at Duke University. The younger brother of Stephen Curry didn't even get drafted. He's been floating around for 2 years now trying to make it from the D League. So making the NBA is really tough. Just weigh all your options. Be smart about the decision. If you're not Jahlil Okafor or Karl Anthony Towns or Emmanuel Mudiay.
Or Grant, Jahlil Grant or whatever his name is.
Just a special talent that they've been telling – people been telling you since they were freshmen they were going to make the NBA. Then be smart with your decision, kids. And I love what Adam Silver has done since he's taken over for the NBA.
Yeah. I mean, even John Calipari loves it.
Because it helps him too. Because Willie Cauley-Stein – was not ready for the NBA. He's probably still not ready for the NBA. And Cal was able to coax him to stay, improve his game. And by the time he leaves after next year, he will be probably a first-round pick because he has the size, he has the athleticism, and his game will have blossomed enough for him to be a solid contributor. And plus, he'll be 21, 22. So he's pretty much in grown man terms at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be no more of the – God, I'm trying to think the kid from Dallas Mavs years ago, Leon Smith or something like that, that went out and he's like, oh, I'm a great draft pick. And then he got drafted and then he never made the team because he was out of shape and everything else.
And, you know, it's more stories of the Will Averys and the Joe Fortes and just guys that left too soon. Then there is that guys that came in early and were successful.
Yeah, and I'm glad they're looking out for the players, finally.
Finally.
So hopefully, you know, they do it for all sports. I still don't know why the NCAA doesn't do for all football, basketball, everything.
Well, the NFL doesn't let you into their league until you're 21 anyway.
Right.
So that's at least 2 years in school.
Maybe the NCAA should look into that. I'm just saying, you're already telling one group of people you can't go out. Why don't you just tell I hate they change the rules for every single sport. Just make it governing body for all of it and say, here, this is how we're doing it. You tell athletes they can't get paid. So.
But, you know, LeBron James, how are you going to tell him that he has to play 3 years of college basketball and he was ready to play in the NBA his junior year of high school?
How you going to tell Michael Jordan he's got to play 3 years?
Well, Jordan could have entered his name into the draft. He wanted to go to college. And back in the 80s, it was different. There weren't high school players jumping into the league.
We've got too many guys jumping to, like, Andrew Wiggins. No offense. Andrew Wiggins could use another year of college basketball. He's had some great games, and he's looked great, but he's not developed yet. LeBron James is that's a freak of nature.
Yeah,
just like Sean Kemp.
Right.
Came out. You know, that's a freak of nature.
Shaquille O'Neal played 3 years at LSU. It did not hamper his career. Tim Duncan played 4 years at the University of Wake Forest. It didn't hamper his career. Damian Lillard played 4 years at Weber State. And he's a budding all-star guard at every year right now. Yep. Chris Paul played 3 years at Wake Forest. Sometimes it's just good to stay in school and grow and mature your game.
It not only helps you, it helps college basketball, it helps the NBA. Because you don't get these young projects. Look at Noah Vonleh.
One year Indiana. Can't get off the bench.
Can't play. And that's the coach's fault, but still.
Stephen Curry, 4 years at Davidson. Now he's on tap to win the MVP award. James Harden, maybe one year at Arizona State. But James Harden is an exception. Who's James Harden? Right. You know, there's not too many James Hardens out there.
But he, like you said, though, when he was at Oklahoma City, the Thunder, he was on the bench.
The sixth man learning how to play.
He learned. I mean, that's what I'm saying, though. You don't – there's very few that come in and say, all right, give me the brass ring.
Right.
I mean, besides, you know – I mean, there's – yes.
Even
there's
Kevin Durant struggled his rookie year.
Right. I mean, Durant struggled.
Westbrook struggled. It struggles, but – those are special guys. A lot, and there's very few special guys. There's a lot of good players that can use college to blossom their game and mature their body and mind and be ready for what the demands of the NBA has to offer.
I couldn't imagine. I would love, and, you know, I'm not Duke. I'm okay with, I like Duke better than Carolina, but I would love to see Okafor in another year or two at Duke. How good he is.
I'd just love to see Jabari Parker stay the next year and play with this kid. But we can't all get what we want.
Well, I mean, would Jabari Parker got hurt if he was playing, you know, at Duke this year? Probably not. And could you imagine your lineup of Parker and Okafor inside and Winslow?
And Austin Rivers, he would be a senior this year.
College basketball, which I don't understand. I wish it would go back. And I know it's a different time and people won't get paid and take care of the family and all that stuff, but there's a point. And now with the NBA, you're talking about the NBA raising the salary cap in 16-17. LeBron could go from $20 million to $30.
The draw of that money is just it's too much. These kids see those dollar signs and see the endorsement deals. And it's forget that school. I'm going to take my chances and enter the NBA draft.
Oh, well. Oh, well, that's what we get to talk about, though. You got anything else, NCAA basketball?
I'm good, man. I'm ready for the big tournament to start.
I can't wait for that, man. And we will have a tournament challenge on ESPN where you guys can join. I'll have it up later and post it on our Facebook page. But first, we're going... Who's there? It's the Breakdown, Dummy of the Week. All right, Dummies of the Week this week. You want to go first or you want me to go?
Go ahead, Rock.
All right, well, first is a Nationals fan gets World Series champion tattoo. Can we stop? Can we just stop it? Can we please stop getting tattoos before the beginning of the season?
It's a loyal, bold fan. He feels like the Nationals are going to win it.
I know, but come on, stop.
If they win it, he looks like a genius. If he doesn't, then he's a boob.
it's just like we had a Cowboys fan do the same thing. We had a Lions fan. Stop it.
Yeah, it's cool if it works the first time. I think a Kentucky fan did it first. I remember last year, and Kentucky lost. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Come on, man, stop it. And then I love kids and stuff, but if I see another video of a kid crying because a player left their team, there's one out of Jimmy Graham getting traded.
Fans, kids are emotionally attached to these teams. You get all your fandom and everything from your parents.
But is it actually the kids or is it the parents putting them up to do the video? That's the thing. There's a lot of parents like, here, start crying because Jimmy Graham left.
It could be. I know kids get hurt. Their favorite player isn't playing on their favorite team anymore. It's the nature of that business.
True.
Let's just have the parents stop exploiting these kids because you want some hits on YouTube.
That's what I'm worried about, dude, is because every time you had it with Steve Smith, you had all these guys get traded, you see this kid crying. I don't know if it's a kid crying because of their parents or they truly love the player. I understand if you truly love the player, but come on. Anyway, another dummy of the week. I'll leave the Eagles up here for right now. You're trading Sam Bradford is your quarterback and Mark Sanchez. Do you understand this is the happiest moment in history of Dallas Cowboys until DeMarco Murray signs? But that's their quarterbacks.
Like I said, he looks like a blithering idiot right now, Chip Kelly, but he might be the smartest guy on the planet if it turns out the way he wants it to.
Right. And they might have Ryan Matthews as their starting running back if it's not Murray.
Woo.
It's a disabled unit out front.
All right.
get the ER ready. Fans, I don't know if you saw this one on our Facebook page. Fans hold vigil for Derrick Rose knees.
Wow, D Rose. There is no love for D Rose anymore. The first year, oh man, can't believe he popped his ligament, his hamstring. He'll be back strong. The second year is, oh, another injury. This year is, oh man, let's just move on from Derrick Rose. Wow, Derrick Rose, what happened? We need the MVP back. Not this shell of the Derrick Rose that's been out here for the past two seasons.
Yeah, so vigil. I love it, man.
Did they have candles and everything and just poster boards of his knees out there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'll show it to you here. But, yeah, it's on our Facebook page if you want to go and look at it. Yeah, pray for Rose. We got roses, everything. We got two.
They got crutches out there. Man, they went all out. A nice little graffiti picture of Derrick Rose. Pray for Rose. He looks miserable on the picture. I don't see any of his Adidas out there, though. Where's the D Rose Adidas?
They ain't putting shoes out there. Somebody take it. But yeah, come on. A vigil for his knees. All right. That's a little bit much. And then Stephen A. Smith floats out the race card to explain Chip Kelly's roster moves.
You know, Stephen A. is deeply enrooted in Philadelphia sports. He worked for the Philadelphia Inquirer for over 10 years. He covered the Sixers, he's covered the Eagles. So I'm pretty sure he still has inside guys with the Eagles organization, and they've probably thrown some hints that maybe this was why Chip got rid of him. I mean, it's a very bold statement or assumption to put out there without any proof, but you're Stephen A. Smith, so you can say what you want to.
You know, I'm with Stephen A. Smith. Everything seems to come back to race. And I'm like, is everything about race? I mean, is that what it's about with him? I mean, with Philadelphia and Chip Kelly. I don't know Chip Kelly. I don't know, man. It's hard for me to talk about because I'm white. It's not like, you know, I know who Stephen A. Smith. I'm just tired of hearing the bad comments that come out of his mouth. I mean, he got suspended for a couple weeks ago about something. And I'm like,
oh, yeah, about the Ray Rice thing, yeah. Talking about a woman.
Yeah, the domestic violence thing. Come on. Now you're saying the roster moves are because of the color of their skin?
I do know there is just way too much hate in this accursed world right now, man.
Yeah.
What happened to love thy brother, thy neighbor?
Exactly.
Man, let's do something about this. And the kids out in Oklahoma who made that racist video. What is up? What is going on out here?
Yeah, people are stupid. I don't condone that whatsoever. But Stephen A. Smith, come on, man. You're supposed to be setting an example. I love Stephen A. Smith. I usually love Stephen A. Smith, but he's pushing me the other way now. But you got any more dummies?
I'm going outside the box this week. I got to give a dummy of the week award to the two Secret Service guys that crashed their car into the White House barricade. They were allegedly drunk. Okay, your Secret Service, your job is to protect the President of the United States, and you're riding around Washington, D.C. drunk, and you crash into the freaking barricade? How much of a moron do you really have to be? Jesus. And so you know they're probably fired. They were fired immediately.
Yeah, that's silly, dude. Come on.
And I was at the Hornets game against the Kings, and the fan that got hit in the face by the basketball, when you're sitting that close to the court, you better be paying attention. You better have your hands high, or if not, you're going to get busted in your nose by the ball.
Hey, you got to pay attention.
You have to pay attention. But what's worse was her husband was paying attention, sitting beside her, and his hand was a half a second too slow to stop the ball from hitting her. Dude, get your reaction time together, man.
Yeah, you can't. Come on. You have. It's just like going to a baseball game. You got to pay attention when they're playing the game. This is not a movie.
I've seen too many people hit by basketballs, players jumping into people because they freeze up and don't know how to move, or they're just not paying attention.
I hate when I go to a sporting event and I see somebody beside me, they're yakking, talking, and not paying attention to the game. I'm like, all right, when the ball hits you in the face, you'll pay attention.
I'm going to have my camera out, too, so I can put you on YouTube because you're about to get a million hits.
Sucker, watch this. But, yeah, come on. Anyway, yeah, is that all your
Those dummies? Are my dummies.
That's your dummies? Man, we had some good ones. Every week, we love. If you got any dummies of the week you want to send us, post it on our Facebook page, share it with us, and we'll mention it on the show every single week. Yeah, we're going to take a break, come back. You're listening to The Breakdown on Stitcher, Spreaker, and iTunes.
It's December 6, 2014. We're going to drive across LA and hit every wedding we possibly can. It's going to be awesome. And we're late. What's your door for you, Mr. Madden?
Let's do it.
I'm broken down. I need your loving, I need it now.
are listening to the best damn sports show in the Carolinas. Better than your mama's biscuits. Breakdown Sports, Big Shot Bob Robertson. Him and Stephen Tulloch can be the spokesman for stupidity injuries. Getting the ball out of Cam's hands. What happened to that? And Kelvin Benjamin's 6'6". And it's a guarantee that Jimmy Graham's going to have a touchdown catch. At least one against the Panthers. They got to keep Breeze and the boys off the field, because if Breeze and the boys score 24, they're going to win. Cam paid and doing Felix Sabatis commercials now. And that 2-0 was like fool's gold. I feel like Cam doesn't throw a good fade route, though. Cam, there's definitely a damn APB out for this guy. We are looking for you. Listen to us on Spreaker, Stitcher, and iTunes.
All right, welcome back to the breakdown.
Keep dipping them suckers in Aunt Jemima's.
Love that thing every time I listen to it.
I'm telling you, man.
We're going to move on to talk about some NBA action. Before, we were talking about ACC basketball or dummies of the week. We're going to spend, you know, this last 20 minutes of this segment on NBA basketball. Real fast, Magic to induct Shaquille O'Neal into their Hall of Fame. I didn't realize they had a Hall of Fame.
Congratulations, Shaq. You know, Shaquille O'Neal is one of the most transcendent players ever. Hall of Fame center, the most dominant center during his era. And he helped Orlando get to a finals.
He joins Pat Williams and Nick Anderson as third member. I didn't realize they had a Hall of Fame in Orlando, but he definitely deserves to be on it.
They need to put Dennis Scott up in there as well. 3D?
Where's Penny? Come on, you ain't put Anthony Hardwell there?
I think Penny will be in there soon. He just didn't have – his career didn't pan out like Shaquille O'Neal's career panned out.
Man, you talking about somebody that was great. Penny Hardaway.
Yeah, and his prime, when he had it going, man, Penny Hardaway.
If he didn't get hurt, just what – he was unbelievable, man. Watching Penny.
I used to love the little Penny commercials.
Best commercials they ever made, man, was the Penny Hardaway commercials for shoes, and when he was in Blackstreet's video. I love Lil Penny, man. Lil Penny goes up there with Grandmama. As characters.
One of the best characters ever.
But, you know, speaking of some characters, Heat's Hassan Whiteside suspended one game for elbowing Celtics' Kelly Olynyk. I don't know if you got to saw the player.
I saw that. That was his second flagrant foul ejection in the like past four games. So,
and D-Wade went off on him.
He's a young kid. He's, you know, still trying to prove himself, I guess. But you got to play smart. They need you on the court. You're a difference maker for them. And if you're not on the court and you're getting ejected, getting suspended, then why do we need you on the team?
Exactly. I don't get it. Moving on to the Hornets, man, we win 5, we lose 2. Last night, I'll let you talk about that one, but they lost to the Kings Wednesday night, last night, 113-106. Al Jefferson left in the second half and did not return. He said he felt something pop, and I got news on that. They had MRI on his right calf, shows no damage. Will be further evaluated by the team doctors. And he's ruled out for the game on Friday.
They already ruled him out for Friday. I mean, he limped off the court to the bench immediately, and nobody touched him. And he sat on the bench for like 2 minutes and got up and went right to the locker room, and he didn't come back out. It's not a good sign, Hornets fans. I don't expect to see him on the West Coast trip either. Al might be out for the rest of the season.
If we're smart, we would let him be out for the rest of the month. Rest him, just let him rest for the rest of the month until April, and then bring him back for the April playoff run. Because we're locked in. We're not getting higher than 7th seed in the East.
Right now, we're sitting on the outside looking in.
If we even make the playoffs, we're not getting any higher than 7th seed.
Talking about a bad break. All the injuries this season. I mean, the season started with Jeffrey Taylor, of course, doing what he did, being suspended the first 20-plus games of the season. And then Kimba's injury, Al's been injured, Bismack's been injured, now Cody Zeller's injured.
Lance was injured.
Lance is the big offseason signing, yep. It's been so much chaos in that lineup, no consistency. It's going to be tough for the Hornets to make this push, especially now that they have this West Coast swing. I think it's 5 games out in the West Coast they have to go through. And you know the Western Conference, even the bottom feeders of the Western Conference are tough. They lost to the Kings last night. Boogie Cousins had his way in the fourth quarter with no Al Jefferson on the court. And Rudy Gay, he just looked unstoppable. And then Ben McLemore had the game of his career against us.
Well, after the Chicago game Friday at Utah, at the Clippers, at Sacramento again, or playing the Kings again, at Minnesota and at Chicago before they come back home.
That's at Utah. Utah is never an easy place to play. And if Al is out, Favors and Gobert, two big monsters in the paint, how are we going to contend with that? Then Sacramento again, the Kings are better at home. At Chicago, that's not an easy place to play. Whew. The Hornets could be looking at 7 or 8-game losing streak by the time they get back to Charlotte.
Right now, the Bucks are 34-30. The Pacers are 29-34, who come on strong. And don't forget, they get Paul George back next week.
He wants to come back and play.
And look, we're 7 games below 500. We don't deserve to make the playoffs. Can we please stop thinking Coach Clifford is a great coach? He's not. I know all the injuries we've had, but, dude, there's no consistent lineup. His offense needs to be – we need a running gun. I mean, I'm being serious. We have a group of guys. We don't run – the only people we run the offense through is Al Jefferson and Kimba.
And now Mo Williams.
Yeah,
we don't get enough production from our guards. Henderson is inconsistent. MKG is like we don't trust him enough offensively, but he could be an outstanding offensive player if we decided that we wanted to let him be the focal point.
We have some good games when Cody is a focal point of the offense. When he's being aggressive, when we're actually trying to get him the ball. Same thing. Why not get Cody, MKG the ball more? Why not get these guys involved more in the offense? They can do other things than just play defense.
Absolutely. They're your best athletes. They're your youngest players, so they have the freshest legs amongst everybody on the team. And they have huge upsides. Let's look at it objectively. Al Jefferson is 32. He's been in the league for 15 years now.
Has it been 15?
It's about 15 years. How much more miles does Al have?
After last year's – dude, we wore him bad out last year.
We
wore him out.
We damn sure did.
we rode him as far as we could, and he's older, man. He doesn't need to play that many minutes. I mean, we talked about it earlier. He come back from an injury earlier in the season, when he came back. We play him 34 minutes in his first game back. He's playing in garbage time. I'm like, dude, don't play him right now. We're winning by – no, we were losing, I think, because we've had some very bad losses. Oh, speaking of which, there was another one on Monday night. We lost to the Wizards 95-69.
And the Wizards
69 points.
The Wizards have been struggling too, man. They got Bradley Beal back, which helped them out. But 69 points at home, I know, granted, we played in Orlando – the night before and won the game.
But we were on a 5-game winning streak. Things were looking up. And then it's like – and the Wizards were on a 9-game road losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
We're the streak busters, man. We are.
And the Hornets have this bad notion when they get in these funks. Them losing streaks can get up to 6-7 games. And right now is not the time to be in the midst of a losing streak when you're battling – for that 8th playoff spot to that 7th playoff spot, and losses are so huge right now. Look, the Hornets are sitting at, what, 36 losses, 37 losses?
35.
28-35. And the Miami Heat are probably sitting at the same exact record.
29-35. And Indiana's 29-35. 34, I think.
And let's not forget about Boston nipping at everybody's heels, too. I mean, they beat Memphis last night.
Well, Indiana will make the playoff. They'll be the seventh seed, I bet. And Miami is going to be right there. So, you know what Miami's doing that Charlotte's not? They're resting Dwayne Wade when they need to.
Dwayne Wade has been resting for the last 3 years.
True. I'll give you that. But until Coach Clifford decides, Gerald Henderson needs to come off the bench. I don't care what anybody says. Gerald Henderson needs to be the sixth man. Or why are we not playing Lance with MKG? Because you can get fast break. That's the only two athletic guys we got. Only two. Well, Biombo is. I will say the Wizards game, Lance, you got to stop passing the ball inside to Biombo. He has no offensive game.
If he ain't trying to dunk it, he ain't going to do much.
Yeah, because there was a couple blocks. Somebody, Gortat, blocked him a couple times. And I'm like, stop passing Biombo the ball for offense. That ain't happening.
It's like, you're not Patrick Ewing. Can we go back in time and pull Patrick Ewing from 1995 and put him in a Hornets uniform and throw him on the court?
The guy cannot make a shot. If it's not a dunk, he ain't going in.
He ain't going in. He had great energy last night, though. A lot of tough calls. The Hornets got frustrated a little bit. Jefferson picked up a technical. Lance Stevenson picked up a technical. They missed like 11 free throws. That's the difference in wins and losses.
The night they scored 69, they were frustrated. The officiating has been horrible.
It has been horrible.
It has been horrible. I'll give them that. But you have to be good enough to overcome those the officials. You have to. We're not that good. We don't deserve to make the playoffs. I'm just saying, we're 28-35.
Be honest, none of those teams under 500 in the Eastern Conference deserve to make the playoffs.
Exactly.
Let's put the good Western Conference teams in it.
earlier I was against maybe doing what they were talking about, reseeding. You might as well.
Might as well.
I mean, because right now, it's awful, dude.
And even if we make the eighth spot, we don't match up well with Atlanta. Atlanta has smoked us this year. To smoke us like this is nobody's business. And Cleveland, LeBron James, we haven't beat LeBron James in 5 years.
Well, we beat Atlanta because Lance Stevenson shot.
Was that against Atlanta?
That was against Atlanta. We won that game. We can beat Atlanta. We ain't beating Cleveland. Cash that in. That ain't happening. Right now, Chicago is number two. Yeah.
If we can get to the seventh spot and match up with Chicago, we have a better chance against the Bulls. We don't want to see the Cavs.
Yeah, we have to do something. I don't know. Coach Clifford needs to do something, man. I mean, I watch the games when he – and it's like, what are you doing? You wait to call a timeout until we're down 30 before you call a timeout. You just – you know Gerald's not having a good night shooting, but you leave him in the game. Well, I don't know what's going on with P.J. Harrison.
He's in street clothes all the time.
I mean, Noah Vonleh, we ain't seen barely this year.
No Brian Roberts last night. He can't get off the bench anymore.
Good. He doesn't need to get off the bench.
But he's dressed to play.
Well, he needs to play. This team should go 10 deep, at least. Probably 11 deep.
They just need to play everybody. And whoever's hot, leave them on the floor at that time. Get Gennaro Pargo back. At least he would put the ball up. He was streaky as hell. He got
really have he Pargo
knock the size down.
Yeah, I really have Pargo than Brian Roberts.
Me too. Me too.
Brian Roberts, he'll leave Brian Roberts on the floor for 40 minutes when he's shooting 0-for-6. Team.
No confidence in jump shot. He's getting destroyed on the defensive end.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough.
I know you say the Lance Stevenson move is the worst offseason acquisition we have. I think it might be Brian Roberts.
Well, we ain't paying Brian Roberts $9 million a year.
True that. We'll see, though. Hopefully we get things turned around so we can make – I don't even care if they turn things around, to be honest with you, the way they're playing.
If they can get in, they have enough talent, like you talk about all the time, Rob, to win a couple games, maybe even stun an Atlanta or Chicago in the first round.
We can beat the best teams in the league. But then we have this game against Washington where you score 69. I know how good Washington is, but they came in on a 9-game road losing streak.
and then turn right around and give up 113.
And we were 2-0 against them this year. And then they come into our house and they
embarrass us.
Yes. 69 points. Gortat has game of the year that game. So I just team needs to turn it around, man. They really need to turn it around. It's because it's embarrassing to watch right now.
I think it's just too late to turn it around, though. They are what they are for this season.
But if they do not make the playoffs this year and we don't make it next year, Clifford's gone.
Yeah, Clifford definitely has.
He has to come back next year already because of last year. But Clifford, man, I'm telling you. You got cash money?
I do got one.
Baby, please, you already smell me, man. I smell like money. I smell green. Team invasion, daddy.
Southern smoke.
All I ever wanted was some cash money.
Cash money.
Cash money.
Who you got?
I had to go to the Western Conference and had to go down to San Antonio, Texas with the Spurs and Mr. Tony Parker. Last four games, the Spurs 4-0, sitting in sixth right now in the Western Conference.
Oh, starting to get together.
And it's, Kawhi Leonard's been playing great, but it's mainly because of Tony Parker. Tony looks like the Tony Parker that we have all known to be an amazing guard. Last four games, 24 points, 5 assists. A game average, and he's being the best guard, the best player on the floor for the Spurs again. And if they expect to compete, get back to the finals, Tony Parker has to be one of their main catalysts. Because he just, when he's playing well, it opens up the court for everybody else, the Kawhi Leonards, the Tim Duncans, the Manu Ginobili's. I mean, San Antonio won Sunday against the Bulls, and Tim Duncan had no field goals, no made field goals in the game. The first time in his career, he has went an entire game without a made field goal. And yeah, they won because Tony Parker was amazing. So Tony Parker gets my cash money player of the week.
Mine, once again, is Russell Westbrook, another triple-double. The guy put up a career-high 49 last week, I think. And he just, for the month, shout out to Mo Williams for being the Eastern Conference Player of the Month.
The week.
The week, thank you. I was getting ready to say, because he ain't played that great this month. He was named Player of the Week for the East. Westbrook for the West, 43 points a game, 11 rebounds a game, 13 assists a game. The guy's just tearing it up, man.
Those are 2K15 numbers, and you're playing the computer on novice or something, because he is – those stats are unbelievable. That's unreal what he's doing right now.
He's catching up on MVP voting for me.
He is, but I still got the beard, man. I mean, Dwight Howard hasn't played in 30 games.
I've got Steph, but we'll see. It's going to be interesting. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, and talk about all the NFL news, and there's a lot. You're listening to The Breakdown.
Chuck's on with Saint Laurent, gotta kiss myself.
Had enough. I might get a little drunk. I say what's on my mind. I might do a little time. 'Cause all of my kindness is taken for weakness. Now I'm 4 or 5 seconds from wildin', and we got 3 more days till Friday. I'm just trying to make it back home by Monday morning. I swear I wish somebody would tell me, ooh, that's all I want.
Woke up an optimist, sun was shining, I'm positive. Then I heard you was talking trash.
I thought a mystery.
Hold me back, I'm about to spaz.
Yeah, I'm about 4 or 5 seconds from wildin', and we got 3 more.
Worst play calling game.
Hey,
What are you doing? You got Cam to come around quarterback. Snead, do not understand that. You cannot play a top five team in the NFL safe. Hey, what are you doing? You need to step in. Week one, it's not playing well? Say something. Hey, what are you doing? Can't play in the NFL trying not to lose. You need to try to win. It's one thing I will say about Mr. Chip Kelly. Dez will go over the top of somebody and take it, but they never test them deep. Do not understand that. Same thing with the Cowboys game. Yeah, and we'll get into that. I said Carolina would win 31-14. I wish Clay was here. Siona Pua. We say that every week. Now you know. This is Rocky. You're listening to The Breakdown on All Noise Radio Charlotte. All right, welcome. Welcome back to The Breakdown on Stitcher, Spreaker, and iTunes. And you can follow us on Twitter at BreakdownNC. And on Facebook at facebook.com/breakdownsportsshow.
So. BSS Carolinas.
That will be our next sweeper. BSS Carolinas. And, you know, and we're revamping our website at breakdownsportsshow.com. So it's down right now, but it'll be up soon. New and improved. Speaking of new and improved, man, this NFL offseason's been crazy. I mean, first day of free agency was Tuesday at four, and the floodgates came out. We had one trade after another. Not a lot of big signings the first day. I mean, it was everybody knew about the big signings, but the first one you had was the Seahawks trade Max Unger and a first round pick for tight end Jimmy Graham and a fourth round pick.
The Seahawks have done magic in the fourth and fifth rounds. Look, Richard Sherman, Malcolm Smith, Cam Chancellor. They got all these guys late.
Well, and think about it. This year's first round pick might as well be a second because it's the 31st pick in the first round.
You
are getting an all pro center, though, in Max Unger. So your offense line is going to be a lot better.
I feel like the Saints are in rebuild mode and they're planning for life after Drew Brees.
Who won this trade, though?
I mean, if you're looking at it, I would say Seattle won the trade because when Max Unger was out, the guy they had replacing him played really well. So they're able to plug somebody in, and then they get a big-time offensive target. Will he be 80 catches, 1,200 yards, and 16 touchdowns like he was in New Orleans? No. But he will be 50, 60 receptions, 700, 800 yards, and probably 10 touchdowns in Seattle. He's going to have to want a block, though.
Well, they got what's the backup?
Luke Wilson now.
Luke Wilson's the backup. He'll be the blocking back tight end.
They'll just run two tight ends and two wideouts because their wideouts aren't going to go and try to get a big-name wide receiver. That's not how Seattle wins football games anyway. Two tight ends, two wide receivers, and keep running beast mode. And run this read option with Russell Wilson. That's their best offense right now.
Yeah, I mean, the Jimmy Graham addition helps, but what Jimmy Graham are we going to see? I mean, he wasn't healthy last year. He was triple team. To stop Seattle, it's the same offense. To me, it didn't make this offense that much better. It didn't say that, woo. You know, just like trading for Percy Harvin a couple years ago. It's not the same to me. Because, look, all you got to do is double Jimmy Graham and stop beast mode. That's all you got to do. I ain't saying that's easy to do.
It's not easy to do.
But that's your game plan. All you got, I mean, make the wide receivers beat you. Make Russell beat you throwing the ball.
And you see how it worked out in the Super Bowl for them when they tried to beat you throwing the football. And plus, you know, the Saints were strapped for cash. They needed to free up some cap room because they have a lot of holes. Their defense is atrocious. Their wide receivers are old. Well, Marcus Colston is getting up in age. Brandon Cooks had a nice run before he got hurt, so hopefully he can come back and rediscover his magic he had with Drew Brees. And Kenny Stills, he's still a project. Yep. This might be this year Kenny Stills breaks out.
Well, and for me, I think New Orleans – I'm going to say this is a bigger win for New Orleans because this makes their offense better. And I know it's funny to say because you're losing Jimmy Graham, but you make your offensive line better for Drew Brees. Their offensive line was awful last year, dude. He was on his backside a lot.
And hopefully it helps. We'll see. But Jimmy Graham was – he accounted for almost 50% of Drew Brees' touchdown catches. So when you lose that guy
– Well, you see, that's where you're going to hurt the most is in the red zone because you ain't got that guy in the red zone anymore.
That's six, seven monster. You could throw it up to with three guys around him. More than likely, he would come down with the football.
But this team is going to be a more running team with Mark Ingram back next year anyway. Mark Ingram, they're trying to get him to be 1,000-yard back every year, and I think this year he finally gets there. And speaking of the Saints, they're considering bringing back Reggie Bush.
Reggie Bush had a nice run under Sean Payton. He would go back and do what he did, catch balls out of the backfield, be Darren Sproles. But let me say that Jimmy Graham leaving is a good thing for me as a Panther fan because the Saints do not scare me as much without Jimmy Graham.
That's true. I mean, you don't have many weapons to stop. You don't.
You don't. Jimmy Graham was the worst matchup for us because if you wanted to have Luke Kuechly trying to run with them, then it took Luke Kuechly away from whatever else he needed to do as far as being able to run sideline to sideline and make all the plays. Now we don't have to worry about that guy, Panthers.
I agree with you. Being at Panthers games in the last couple of years, you watching Jimmy Graham, you're like, what are they thinking? All you have got to do is stop Jimmy Graham. He ain't going to throw it to nobody else.
And then if we focus too much of our defense on stopping Jimmy Graham, then Mark Ingram has a great game against
like last year.
And Jimmy Graham still had a touchdown catch. Man. So, I'm happy.
Don't have to worry about it.
And I'm not a Saints fan either, so if y'all go 4-12 again, I am okay with that.
But Mark won't work. Sean Payton's probably looking back like, I should have took that Dallas job. I'm just saying because if he doesn't do well this year, I don't think he'll be around next year.
Especially with what's going on with the Benson family.
That's what I was getting ready to get to. The Benson family, you don't know if they're going to take the team from them or – You know, now Tom Benson is trying to get the trust fund to be eliminated so it doesn't go to them now because it's sad.
He doesn't trust his kids.
Right, which is sad.
It's pretty rotten.
Yeah. Speaking of rotten, the Philadelphia Eagles, they're rotten. They trade Nick Foles to the Rams for quarterback Sam Bradford and draft picks. Rams get a 2015 fourth round pick, a conditional 2016 second round pick, and the Eagles got Bradford and a 2015 fifth round pick.
There's conditions on that fifth round pick, though. If Sam Bradford starts less than 8 games, it becomes a fourth round pick. If Sam Bradford gets hurt during the season and miss any games, it becomes a third-round pick. So it could work out for Philadelphia. Adam Schefter reported that Chip Kelly got calls for Sam Bradford they were going to give up a first-rounder for Sam Bradford.
What?
That's what I was thinking. Like, who? What? In their right mind? Now, Cleveland Browns. Josh McCown is not the answer.
Oh, no.
So getting Sam Bradford in there might not be a bad thing. And Johnny Football don't look like he's going to pan out. This kid, is he still in rehab?
Still in rehab.
I don't think he's going to play next season.
I think this whole summer he's going to be in rehab.
I don't feel like he's going to play next season. And should he, nor should he play because he hasn't shown anything that shows that he is worth the lick of anything to play quarterback in the NFL.
Right. No, he hasn't. But we got to give him credit for at least being in rehab to get himself straight.
He should just stay at AAM.
Stay in rehab until training camp opens. Then you can go to training camp and work on – or he. Here's the problem with Johnny right now is he's missing a lot of time practicing to get himself better on the field.
He's not being able to sit down with the OC, look at his play design – get mental projections of how the play should run in his head, and learn how to call plays from the huddle. That was another big problem for Johnny Football, Johnny College Football. He couldn't get in the huddle and call the plays.
Right. You know, it's not like you go and draw them up on the fly. But, dude, Sam Bradford. This guy in college, yeah, coming out, he looked great. But since he was injury prone in Oklahoma, he's been injury prone in St. Louis. Now he's in Philly. And there's rumors he might not even be the starter. It might be Mark Sanchez.
They pay Mark Sanchez like Mark Sanchez is going to be the starter. So, I don't know. We'll see how this pans out. But, again, Chip Kelly, you look like a blithering idiot.
How do you not trade Sam Bradford for a first-round pick if you got it? And if they're offering you a first-round pick, that other guy should be fired. The other GM should be gone. That's the horrible – that's who would make that move? Let me tell you something. There is something the Summit wouldn't do. And that's some. I'm not trading for Sam Bradford.
I would have traded Ryan Fitzpatrick for Fitzpatrick then before Sam Bradford. Oh, and I could have got Fitzpatrick for a sixth-round pick.
Yeah, they got him for a sixth round. Okay, you got you traded Brandon Marshall for a fourth and fifth, I think. It was a late round pick.
Yeah, that's a fifth rounder they got. Traded for Brandon Marshall for a fifth rounder.
And you're telling me somebody would actually, in their right mind, trade a first round pick for Bradford?
You gave up your quarterback who had 27 touchdowns and two INTs two seasons ago, a fourth rounder and a second rounder for Sam Bradford. Really? 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 Chip? Really? Wow.
And you see why they were on my dummies of the week. Now, I will say, if they do what they're doing today, DeMarco Murray, the Cowboys' ex-running back, see ya, peace, is in Philly today, and he's intending to sign a contract with Philly. He wants to play with Sam Bradford again, which baffles me because he might not even be starting. And he wants to play in the spread formation, which baffles
good.
Me.
It's good for running backs in Chip Kelly's system.
No offense. You got something in Dallas called offensive line that has three all-pro players on the out of five in the Pro Bowl. You don't leave that. But it's all right.
Hey, it ain't going to pay you. Go to a team that runs the ball well. The Eagles, look, their running game has been outstanding since Chip Kelly has been there. LeSean McCoy has had back-to-back 1,000-plus yard seasons and got him another contract with Buffalo.
All I got to say is welcome back to the bench because that's where you will be sitting because you will be hurt half the season probably.
And, I mean, let's be real. When you look at Philadelphia, what they're going to line up on the field right now, Mark Sanchez or Sam Bradford at their quarterback, Riley Cooper and Jordan Matthews at their wide receivers, and then DeMarco Murray in their backfield. Murray scares me a little bit, but their wideouts don't scare me at all, and their quarterback definitely does not scare me.
Now, I will say they have two good tight ends, Brent Celek and Zach Ertz, but they have no wide receiver that's going to do anything. So I'm playing the 8-man box.
Exactly. And I could chip that damn tight end every time he comes off the line.
And the thing with Murray playing in this fast-paced offense, how's he going to hold up? Because they don't take plays off. You don't get breaks. In Dallas, you get a breather. You ain't getting a breather in Philly.
Well, in Murray's case, he's not going to get 400 carries either because Darren Sproles is still there. So it's going to be series to series. Murray isn't going to rush for 1,800 yards. In Philadelphia's system because he's just not going to get enough touches. But it might prolong his career.
Look, I would have been fine you go to Jacksonville. I've been fine you go to Oakland. I'd be fine you go anywhere else in the world. I would even be okay if you went to New York. It would have bothered me a little bit playing for the Giants, but I would have been like, I'm perfectly fine you playing the Redskins because I know they ain't doing nothing no matter what.
Yeah,
I'm okay with you even playing with what's that other terrible team in my division? Redskins, Eagles.
You named them all.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm fine you playing the Giants or the Redskins. You don't play for the Eagles when you're a Cowboy player. And, you know, even if he comes back and wants to sign with him, with Dallas, see you peace. You went to Philly and tried to get a contract with Philly. See you peace. I wouldn't even – negotiations off the table. See you. If I was Jerry Jones, and let me tell you, something about Jerry I didn't like on this, they waited to get in touch with DeMarco Murray. Why are you not every day being in contact with him and everything else. Supposedly, Murray went to the Mavs game and met with Jason Garrett after the game or during the game, whatever. But, you know, you can't – when you have a free agent and we're supposed to have a new triplet, you know, he's part of our triplets, new triplets now, you can't just let him walk away. But, you know, if he goes to Philly, if he's in Philly today and he even tries to sign a contract, let him go. Go somewhere else.
Well, the Cowboys already let him go because they had plenty of opportunity to sign this guy before he hit the free agent market. They had exclusive rights. They could have locked him up.
Well, here's what I don't understand, and I told you before all this started. We franchise tag Dez Bryant, but we don't sign DeMarco. Okay, tell me where that makes sense. Wouldn't you – I would sign – that's the reason I said sign Dez to a long-term contract because then we ain't got to worry about him leaving. I don't think we could franchise DeMarco because I think he was
They could have used the franchise if they wanted to, but
– franchise DeMarco for another year. Let him leave after next year if he holds up.
The Cowboys' cap room is just so messed up right now.
It's because of the Romo contract.
Yeah.
He's gonna get $22 million this year.
Jerry Jones shot himself in the foot. He did the wrong thing with that Romo deal.
But you know, and this is what scares me the most. I'm not worried about losing Murray. I'm worried about losing Dez next year because now Murray is gone. Romo's gonna be gone 3 years probably. What's Dez going to do? You know, we don't have a clear future quarterback behind Tony. You know. What is Dez Bryant going to do?
He's
going
to go to Indianapolis like everybody else.
It seems like it. As long as he don't go to Philly, I don't care. Dez Bryant ends up in Philly, you will see my tickets. You will see every Cowboy thing I got going in the attic. I'll never wear a Cowboys uniform again. And that's sad. But that's one thing you can't do, man. And this is what worried me when Murray all this – yeah. Anyway, we'll see – they're saying that he's likely to sign in Philadelphia. And maybe he'll go to Philly and drive up the price on Dallas and Dallas try to re-sign him at last minute. And because we had that happen a couple years ago for a player.
But I don't think the Cowboys are even considering that. I feel like they've moved on. And they're looking at second and third options. Like you said, C.J. Spiller, Ron Matthews. They agree the terms. They haven't signed any kind of deal, so – he's technically not an Eagle. They still have Joseph Randle out there in their backfield, and they can get a back in the draft. They can get a good back late in the draft.
All right, well, here you go. Eagles expect to sign DeMarco Murray, 5-year, $42 million, $21 million guaranteed.
And that's the most important thing for NFL players right now is that guaranteed money.
So, yeah, he's gone. That's fine. And there's a rumor Cowboys know they've lost DeMarco, so they're out trying to get another running back right now. But it's all right. Whatever. Yeah, I'll move on. I just won't wear your jersey anymore. It will hang in my closet. And that's sad because it's one of the nice jerseys.
You can put it on eBay. Get some money for it.
I might have to do that. Send it to Philadelphia. I know Philadelphia fans up there. Anyway, Redskins, I heard this yesterday. Redskins will draft quarterback Marcus Mariota with the 5th pick if he is there, according to John Clayton.
And that's to trade him to Philadelphia because Philadelphia and the Washington Redskins have done a lot of business over the past few years. Remember Donovan McNabb from Philly to Washington? Remember DeSean Jackson from Philly to Washington? Now the shoe might be on the other foot. Mariota from Washington to Philly.
Yeah, I don't think. But they won't trade Marcus Mariota out of Philly.
Really? They already gave up the house on a spread option quarterback, and it isn't working out like they wanted to. You going to go do it again? And Jay Gruden is not a spread option coach. His offense isn't designed for a spread option quarterback. He needs a pocket passer, a traditional guy. So I would be baffled if they did that, but I wouldn't be surprised because nothing surprises me when it comes to Washington and Daniel Snyder. They always do some wild, crazy stuff.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm still in La La Land. I'm looking at this Murray thing. It's killing me. Anyway, some other NFL news we got. Yeah, Redskins won't do that, dude. If you draft Marcus Mariota, I mean, what you going to do, RG3? What you going to do with Kirk Cousins?
Their fan base is going to turn their backs on them.
They've already turned. I mean, we got one person here that's a Redskins fan that's already turned his back until Daniel Snyder sells the team.
And he's not doing that anytime soon.
Nope. He ain't changing the name. He ain't selling the team. Raiders signed 2014 Super Bowl MVP linebacker Malcolm Smith.
That's a good move for the Raiders. Kelvin Mack, Malcolm Smith.
They got good defense.
They got a good defense, man.
Jets signed Darrell Revis. Do you see his contract's insane?
$39 million guaranteed. Talking about he didn't sign for the money. He signed for the love. Yeah, you signed for the love of that $39 million guaranteed that the Jets were throwing at you. I'm not mad. If you won a Super Bowl, go get paid. Congratulations, Darrell Revis.
The Saints are trying to trade wide receiver Kenny Stills.
Yeah, they've lost hope in Kenny Stills. He had one good game, I think, for them in two seasons.
The Chiefs acquired Saints two-time Pro Bowl guard Ben Grubbs for a fifth-round pick. Yeah, that's future. Those are future. Those are rebuilding for the future picks.
Yes, absolutely.
Trades, I mean. But going back to Darrell Revis, though, man, I mean – And they signed another safety or another corner.
Antonio Cromartie is talking about he wants to come back him, to New York Jets, too.
But there's they signed another one, too, another cornerback. So the defense is getting better. Todd Bowles is doing the right things. But then they traded for Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick, he won't win you no games, but he won't do stupid things to put you in positions to lose games like Geno Smith. Trying to put the football around his back and throw a pass. Fitzpatrick can get the ball to Brandon Marshall. He can get the ball to Eric Decker. And if Chris Ivory is still there from running back, so be it. The Jets will play good defenses. They'll be in low-scoring games and just hope that their game manager manages to pull out some W's for them.
Yeah, Jets suspect Ryan Fitzpatrick to beat out Geno Smith. According to Metro New York, he's head and shoulders the best quarterback.
Head and shoulders, and that's sad. When Ryan Fitzpatrick is the best quarterback option,
what does that tell you about Mike Vick and Geno Smith?
Mike Vick getting released; he ain't coming back this season. Geno is done; he's in the EJ Manuel category. Just send them back to where they came from.
And that's sad, man. I mean, the guy—I think you work with him and make him a better quarterback. But his veteran quarterbacks have been Michael Vick. And this guy, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
And Mark Sanchez.
And Mark Sanchez.
That's who he's had to learn from.
He's not learning anything. Is how to lose.
And, I mean, he's so hot and cold. One game he can come out 300 yards, three touchdowns, 70% completions. And the next game he has six interceptions and 10 yards passing.
Well, and the new coach, Todd Bowles, is going to the school of Bruce Arians.
Yeah.
Where I can win with any quarterback. That doesn't turn the ball
over. Doesn't turn the ball over. Just gives us a chance to win. Have some big play wide receivers on the outside and have an outstanding defense. That's how he's looking to build his team.
The Pats did not exercise option on cornerback Brandon Browner. He's a free agent, and he went to New Orleans, and they are trying to get him for $5 million a year in New Orleans.
I don't know what's going on with the Saints. I think they can't win just by putting up points.
No, they're trying to make their defense better.
They need to play defense, and they need to keep the games in the 20s.
They let go of Curtis Lofton, the linebacker, too.
He signed in Oakland.
Yep.
Everybody's signing in Oakland, or they're signing in Indy. What? No, Curtis Lofton signed in Tampa because he played with Lovie Smith. I just read that this morning.
Right.
He signed in Tampa. And so is Chris Conte. He's supposed to sign in Tampa as well.
I did read that.
So, Lovie Smith trying to get his defense right, too. The NFC South looks like it's going to be competitive again.
Virginia, go back real fast. The NCAA basketball, Virginia beat Florida State 58-44.
Whoa.
To mention that. Yeah. Beaten by 14.
They scored more than 17.
They scored, in the second half. They scored 30.
They almost scored 30 points in the second half. Whoa.
Yeah, they almost scored 30. Hey, you only score 17. That's pretty good. But yeah, Brandon Browner is probably going to New Orleans. Ravens acquire a fourth and fifth round pick from Lions for Haloti Ngata.
Haloti Ngata.
I meant to say that earlier. Dude, that's the replacement for Sue.
They had to do something immediately. When you knew you were going to lose Sue, you had to do something.
Yeah.
And you're probably not going to pick up the option on Nick Farley either.
So that nasty defense line is going to be revamped.
It'll be fine, though. Haloti Ngata is a hell of a defensive tackle when he's healthy. The Ravens just – they have to cut salary. They need to re-sign Justin Forsett. They have no wide receivers on their roster right now besides Steve Smith. But they're still paying Joe Flacco $20-plus million a year. There Congratulations, Joe.
I said it 2 years ago after they won that Super Bowl and everybody retired, and he will not lead them to another Super Bowl without that defense they had.
They got to have a strong defense. They gave up 2 14-point leads in New England in the playoff game.
Yeah, you can't do that. Arizona signed 3-time Pro Bowl offensive lineman Mike Opata to a 5-year deal worth $40 million, 22.5 guarantee. That's a lot of money for offensive linemen.
They got to protect Carson Palmer because Ryan Lindley ain't it. Drew Stanton ain't it. They gave Carson Palmer money. They got to protect him.
Yeah, he doesn't have much time left.
And you got to look at San Francisco. Like, San Francisco is in a rebuild year. San Francisco is not going to make the playoffs.
D'Angelo Williams visited the Steelers.
Who cares? He's not going to get signed.
He'll probably go to Pittsburgh. He's a good fit. This is a good fit there in Pittsburgh. Panthers did sign wide receiver, kick returner, punt returner Ted Ginn back.
Why did they let him go in the first place?
Exactly. Well, no. Here's what I want to ask. Panthers also re-signed Fuzzy Whitaker, Ben Jacobs, Brian Frokerts, Dwan Edwards to a 2-year deal, and then Brenton Burson. Why are you bringing this guy back for another 2 years?
That was the owner's.
What is
that's Jerry Richardson looking out for his Wofford college guy.
You got Ted Ginn on the lineup in the roster. Why are you playing him?
Brenton Burson can be great on the practice squad. We go and blow him up. He's trying to return punts. And then he can learn from Ted Ginn. Because when he did catch the ball and had some chances to make plays, he picked up positive yards. He just didn't know when to fair catch and be smart out there. So this hopefully it'll work out.
Yeah, it's crazy. Buck signed Bruce Carter to a 4-year deal. Oh, the Dolphins are nervous about the Sue signing because there are rumors of tampering.
I saw that.
So we'll see what happens.
See what happens.
But Tryon Smith had his contract reworked, freeing up to $8 million in cap room. Cowboys supposedly the team to watch to sign C.J. Spiller now. Giants signed Dwayne Harris from the Cowboys. Giants signed running back Shane Vereen.
Everybody's bolting out of New England right now. Shane Vereen was the running back of choice in the Super Bowl.
That's a good fit, dude. Him and Rashad Jennings, if you put them two together, that's a good
fit. And Andre Williams, if you don't bring back Rashad Jennings.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that's right. They probably let him go. Jaguars signed Jeremy Parnell, Gerard Ardrick, and they also signed Julius Thomas from Denver. 5-year, $46 million, $24 million guaranteed.
He needs to send 10% to Peyton Manning because Peyton Manning got him this contract.
I agree. Jets released Percy Harvin. He's already been to Buffalo twice, so he's going to probably sign with Rex Ryan.
He must like Rex Ryan. Huh?
Hey, you know what, though? Rex Ryan, you got Sammy Watkins and Percy Harvin. You got some weapons on offense, on wide receiver.
And you got Shady McCoy in your backfield. Let's see what Matt Castle does because he's obviously going to step right in and be the starter there.
Did you just say Matt Castle's going to step in?
They have no Kyle Orton. He ran home.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. Patriots re-signed Devin McCourty. The Colts signed Frank Gore to a 3-year, $12 million deal. Andre Johnson, 3 years, $21 million a year. Trent Cole, Mike Adams, everybody went to.
Veteran players are looking around the league, and they're looking at Peyton, and they're looking at Tom, like, and Drew. Like, these guys are past their prime. Who's next in line? Who do we feel like is going to contend for the next 10 years? Aaron Rodgers is his early 30s. Ben and Eli, I think their best years are behind them. There's Andrew Luck, who's head and shoulders better than every other young quarterback in the league right now. I'm going to just go ahead and say it. Andrew Luck is probably going to be – he's going to be in a minimum of 3 Super Bowls within the next 6 to 10 years.
Dude, they're the pick in the AFC next year right now.
They got
to
be.
I mean, Andre Johnson now to go T.Y. Hilton, Reggie Wayne's let go.
They revamped that defense.
The defense is so much better. The running backs, you keep Ahmed Bradshaw and Frank Gore. You got a receiving running back. Then you got a running back, you know, that can get you yards.
Bradshaw's probably going to be a casualty. They'll go with Boom Heron, and they'll go with Frank Gore.
Yeah. I was just thinking Bradshaw out of the backfield catching passes. But, yeah, you could keep Boom and let him go. They'll be awesome next year. Chiefs signed Jeremy Maclin, 5 years, $22.5 million guarantee. Dude, that's huge.
So what's the over under for receivers having touchdown catches for Kansas City next year? 5?
Nudelhorn? He might have 3. Nudelhorn might throw 3 next year. Jeremy Maclin, welcome back to, you know, Andy Reid, another quarter. You don't have a quarterback there who can't throw more than 5 yards. So good luck there. Torrey Smith signed with the 49ers. That's huge. Texans re-signed Ryan Mallett. They also signed Brian Hoyer. I mean, they got a better quarterback situation this year than last year. That's all I'll say. Ron Fitzpatrick.
And Vince Wilfork was down in Houston visiting with the Texans. They get Vince Wilfork on that front line.
That's bad.
That's going to be nasty. J.J. Watt. Vince Wilfork might be 34, but he can still clog the middle and stop the run.
Texans defense end Jadeveon Clowney was sent to the ER after getting bit by teammates Pitbull.
He has just had such rotten luck, man, since he was drafted. Come on, Jadeveon.
I agree. And then we had the Eagles signed Mark Sanchez to a 2-year, $16 million deal. 5.5 is guaranteed. Then they go out and spend $63 million, 6-year deal on Byron Maxwell. And they also signed Walter Thurman. Dude, Byron Maxwell, you played with Cam Chancellor, Richard Sherman.
Earl Thomas. You played in the Legion of Boom.
You ain't playing no more with them guys. That's the worst offseason signing.
And then Walter Thurman, we know he's going to get suspended. That boy can't ever leave alone the NFL drug policy. That boy is always smoking some weed or something somewhere.
That's true. And then last I should say this later, but I'll say it now. Ex-linebacker Jason Worlds is retiring to work for Jehovah's Witness.
Bon voyage, Jason Worlds, to become Jehovah's Witness. Whatever floats your boat.
Yeah, whatever works for you. But, yeah, that's our NFL news in, like, 2 minutes.
Get it in.
But, yeah, we wanted to get in and share with you. There's been a lot of moves going on. Enjoy the ACC tournament and the NCAA tournament. We'll have brackets up and everything like that. But first, we're going to say bon voyage. Oh, so it says the Saints are in complete fire sale mode.
They're
shopping every player on the roster.
I'm telling you.
Year too late.
Drew Brees, you're going to probably be on that Bon Voyage list soon.
Are they trading him? That would be something. Patrick Willis, I won't say Bon Voyage. Justin Smith supposedly retiring too.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Locker retiring. Cortland Finnegan retires. But Patrick Willis, man, 8 years. This guy made a Pro Bowl 7 of 8, one of the best linebackers. Him and Kuechly is the best linebackers to play the game today.
I know he didn't have 10-plus years, but is he a Hall of Famer to you?
Absolutely.
I think so, too.
They said that him and Jim Brown would be the only two to retire at age 30.
Robert Smith, I thought, retired at, like, age 29, 30, and Barry Sanders did the same thing.
Robert Smith wasn't the Hall of Fame.
No, that's true.
But Barry, I think, was 31, wasn't he?
Yeah, he probably was right at 31. Patrick Willis had a hell of a run with the 49ers. You got you got to know your body. And I guess he knows his body better than anybody else. And he said his feet just said, dude, I can't do it anymore. I got to go.
Just said it's done.
It's done. And Jake Locker, we see it. His body isn't built for the NFL.
Well, we figured, yeah, I mean, he's only been in the league 4 years, you know, so.
He said he doesn't have the passion to play. He doesn't want to go through rehab, and he doesn't want to be injured again and have to keep rehabbing his body. It's just not worth it for him.
Oh, well, one other thing. Justin Forsett re-signed with the Ravens.
That's so huge for Baltimore. They needed to do that. I got one person on my Bon Voyage list this week. It's Mr. Vince Young. Never again reach out to the NFL. The NFL rejected his request to join the veteran combine to show his skills. Vince Young, man, what happened?
He can't get into the veteran thing. And so did Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow, he got rejected as
well. He got left off the list.
Because he didn't want to go and show any of his skills. Dude, go to the CFL. Oh,
yeah, should. All right. Well, yeah, I hate Patrick Willis, man. That was a big loss for this week.
The 49ers, though, man, their defense looks like they're in trouble, man.
Mm-hmm. And so is the offense.
Mm-hmm.
Torrey Smith's about it. All right. From Big Shot, I'm Rocky. Listen to us next week. You can catch us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Spreaker. Have a good week.
Sports is life.
I'm starting to see that it's me with the complications at, but I'm laying back praying that you get that peace of mind of me. I thought I was right, but really I'm wrong. Then again, I was too blind to see. I was in the fast lane chasing my dream, and then the scene when the fame and cash came, they just got me going crazy. I've been so faded, trying to erase it, but I just can't, cause the drama just goes greater. And I've been in so many collisions, from putting shit up to later.
I try so hard, can't seem to get away from misery. Man, I try so hard, always be a victim of these streets. It ain't my fault, cause I try to get away, but trouble follows me. And still I try so hard, hoping one day you'll come and rescue. Posted up right here, no snow, but until then, I'll be posted up right here with my heat getting low.
It's like I'm taking 5 steps forward and 10 steps back, trying to get ahead of the game, but I can't seem to get it on track. And I keep running away the ones that say they love me the most. How could I create the distance when it's supposed to be close enough? I just don't know, but I'll be out here fighting demons, and it's like a curse that I can't shake this part of Cleveland. And Lord, would you help me and stop this pain I keep inflicting on my family? Hustling and gambling, tricking and scamming, and losing sight of what I'm supposed to be handling. It's hard to manage, cause every day's a challenge, and man, I'm slipping, can't lose my balance, I'm trying not to panic.
I try so hard, can't seem to get away from misery. Man, I try so hard, always be a victim of these streets. It ain't my fault, cause I try to get away, but trouble follows me. And still I try so hard, hoping one day you'll come and rescue me. But until posted up right here, ain't sleep, hell, snow, but until then, I'll be posted up right here with my heat getting low.
I see things won't change, I'm stuck in the game. As soon as I get out, it keeps pulling me back, get me doing dirty. So used to this hustle money that I don't understand, no 9 to 5 work. Studied on the streets, hustles know what I mean. Hustles